Yeah. This is a smoking section.
Well, salvia.
Smoking.
Understand when you hear that, whatever level of like kind of ability you're at, to understand.
Well,
like, oh, okay, there's nothing to get, I get it.
But even, you know, even
the weirder and weirder that this gets, the
yeah.
more it shows you how weird it is.
Yes, the metaphor, which may be shocking early on, that there's nothing to get, nowhere to go, nothing to get or go with. There's no medium
right.
to even accomplish those things. So, you know, in let's say in the early stages of getting a feel for this, we recoil in a good way by seeing how, let's say, blasphemous or humiliated, right? The presumption of human meme is. But then the depthfulness of this has its own confidence. So now it's revealing itself to itself, namely you, and there's less recoil.
Yeah, you just are like enjoying your bizarre, stupid nature.
Yeah, you don't.
But it does seem like there's a serious tearing down process where you feel bad about how ridiculous you are because you see how, you know what I mean, and then you're like, no, that's just what this is.
Anything.
Nothing to be like ashamed of, or you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the marvelous signature of you as karmic debris, right? Will have a recoil that's kind of customized for you.
Yeah, mine was kind of familiar.
There you go. Oh yeah. Well, let's say you grow up and certain extenuating circumstances are, you know, heavy on you, right? There's an imposition. So naturally, you're going to create curious compensatory mechanisms to keep your head above water in a world that makes no sense, that's undignifying or that's insulting. Okay, so as we grow up, you could say these compensatory mechanisms, customized for us, by us, have a certain signature. Well, then, as we are confronted with melting down, then those compensatory signatures are, you know, they go into shock, they go into recoil. And so, if you have a curious set of compensatory mechanisms to stand up for yourself, right, and hold your fort, right, that, you know, that you're going to insist that something belongs to you, when the universe has more or less said nothing belongs to you, when that comes crashing down, it makes perfect sense that that would experience humiliation. Yeah, but someone else that has another curious, weird, right, compensatory set of survival attributes will go into a different kind of hysteria as, you know, their shit unfolds.
Or maybe it's just all of it eventually. I don't know.
Well,
bigger than I thought, smaller than I thought.
Feel it differently, yeah. Well, yeah, right, because, I mean, it goes through seeming phases. I mean, at some point I was like, I am God, and everything, you know what I mean? And
nice.
Then I was like,
well,
I'm the most humiliated, like, piece of speck of, I mean, anything that can smoke six bongs of something and totally disappear is like, what?
Yeah, really. Tenacious, you know, at a minimum.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's really serious.
Well, it is. I mean, it is. You know, most other people probably would have given up after a hit or two when their fingers went numb and they could no longer, you know, breathe. But you kept at it.
I like humiliating myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I was determined to get somewhere.
You did the right thing. You went on.
Unfortunately.
You took the journey.
I was like, dear God.
Yeah. You know, we don't have a conscious vocabulary texturally or loquaciously until we do. And so as this appears to us and reveals whatever it's going to reveal, we can't help but to use the artifact of our present vocabulary to cope with it. Because we don't have a new vocabulary set yet. Then, so in those stages of, let's say, of coping with whatever is showing up, we tend to respond to it through human vocabulary, behavioral vocabulary, emotive and psychiatric vocabulary, yogic vocabulary.
Well, and it's just like a learning process too, for a mm-hmm. that way. And like, I think I felt ashamed of that in a weird way for a while. Like mm-hmm. last night, I was like secretly taking notes. Not notes, but I was just writing random words you were saying mm-hmm. and piecing them together, or just putting them on a piece of paper just as a, like, yeah, like you would learn in school a new way to speak.
Yes.
And so, but I thought I was being kind of like Carlos Castaneda, rational retard, taking notes.
Not necessarily, right.
So I was like, before, I'm like, no, you can't take notes. But it really, I looked at him afterwards, I'm like, it's just an interesting referral to look at and maybe play with how you might piece together some new words or express something.
Yeah.
But it does really seem like most of it is like, just me, whatever I'm holding on to is how I'm going to express it, and then
yes.
it doesn't come out right because I still think something is about something, so I'm expressing it as being about something.
Yes, I mean that,
you know,
you could say
that. I'm trying to get like a point across, or I have an opinion about something.
Sure. You know, that, I mean, that kind of endearing clumsiness, you know, stays with us for decades. As we mature from tiny persons to, in my case, super tiny person, our vocabulary shifts, right? And the quality of intelligence that can use vocabulary, use expressive powers at your disposal to feel how you're feeling and evoke and, you know, share... share that. Share your blasphemy and share your transcendence with so-called others. Like the Grateful Dead, you know? Sometimes they really sucked. Sometimes it was fucking like, oh my God. And
other times you're like, how long are they going to keep you?
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Right.
Next
right.
song. Next song.
Yeah. Sure. So the same, you know, that same kind of riffing is what we're doing. What humans do, humans riff. Sometimes with instruments, right? Sometimes with sophisticated weaponry. Sometimes with a cattle prod. You know, humans riff. Call it, you know, bacterial and viral expression is interested, territorial, outgoing, introverted, self-protective, bold and crazy, right? So all of the constituent, call them elements, of your cellular and subcellular nature is ready to take the hill. Or cower behind a tree. And none of those cells really know, you know, what they're going to do next, depending on the homeopathy of the next moment. And so
mine's just like a horrible game of, I don't know, whatever, what's a good war game?
Yeah.
It's just retarded. Even if it's a peaceful war, it's just a constant
yes.
strategy, or it's a strategy game.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit. It's like the best bullshit strategy game ever.
Yes. Yes.
Transcendental bullshit. But
it is transcendental. It's both banal and transcendental.
That's all I was looking at. Yeah, because we don't really know what it means or what it is or what it's doing, what the energy, whatever, you know. But like
no.
in terms of a rational like thing, it's definitely bullshit.
Fair enough. Yeah. Each sliver of this pie is equally you know, dismissible and worshipful.
Yeah, everybody likes to play a good strategy game. It
yes.
just doesn't mean that you have to really actually maybe make your whole life about it.
Well, that, you know, then we start leaning into the implication of transcendence. The implication of seeing the matrix of your present experience with such subtlety that your intelligence just blossoms instantaneously. And that understanding is not compartmentalable. It's a unicity. It's a non-dual.
Well, it's because it's in you. Not that that makes any sense, but
it's this.
It's your experience. Yeah,
it's this. It's this reveling in itself. So our vocabulary will naturally shift because we're not compartmentalizing inwardly, psychologically, emotionally. We're riffing with a much more playful palette.
We're not as consumed with eating something.
Yes,
out
not
of whatever it is.
That's right. That's
it generally does seem to be the modus operandi is getting something, whether it's getting comfort. It, you know what I mean? It's always about like what
well, like I said, you know, at a bacterial level, you love to take the hill. Let's take the hill. Let's go get something. Let's go over that mountain. Let's you know, eat those bacteria over there. Let's see. Let's eat their food. Yeah, I mean, let's have
destiny.
It's manifest destiny at the cellular and subcellular level. I mean, look at the recent, you know, high-definition images of the Andromeda Galaxy are so mind-blowing, it hurts. The grain of the haze as the you can drill into the image, and you see a star field which is just not refrigerable. I mean, it's...
You can't zero in on one of them.
Well, you can zero in really. You can zero in really, really high, and you're like, this is unbelievable. This is a star field forever and ever and ever and you know the number. So if there were, you know, a number of stars within the Andromeda spiral, and the number of planets, you know, accompanying those stars is there's no number for it. There's no number for it. And so they're peering right into this haze, which upon higher density resolution is a star field beyond imagination. And you're like, oh, God.
And they're insane. Like, I was driving, and someone's like, I think everyone's lights are too bright. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, these lights are really bright. And I like look up at the sky. I'm like, what do you think about that? Really bright, right? I'm like, these fuckers are like, yeah, check, you know what I mean? What? They're like, well, we're burning from, I don't know, millions and billions of miles away, and you can see us, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what?
I mean, this isn't, you know, this isn't passive. I mean, the radiant assertiveness of all creation and consciousness and experiencing is not chilling. In a way, it's profoundly chilling, but in another way, it's just like, you know, it's doing a line dance. It's a big line dance. I mean, everyone's, you know, got boots on and hats, and it's just like, whoa! And the synchronicity of expressive permutation.
All
I'm, you know,
like right now,
till,
like, dude,
yeah.
There's like billions and trillions of things in our body just doing whatever they do. We're just
yes.
breathing, no big deal. And then there's like, what the hell is this?
Total tilt.
What the fuck are we in? Like, the store goes on for like days in that direction, and there's so much shit. It's insane.
That's a total change.
That whole thing, yeah, I don't know what that is. It's like, are we in a factory or a grocery store? looks like there's moss.
It looks like that Windows pipe screensaver.
And everything has all these scales. All my like, soil inside of me. There's, well, I don't know if maybe there's plants are real, but if they were. That is another million, whatever, microorganisms.
Yeah, this place is fantastic for
it is.
It's a word that came to me after a drink. So
paradisiacal.
I've never said it. I've never saw the word before. And I got
see?
A dream and
just popped right in.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't notice. Yeah.
There's like 8 million different
kinds
of beer
over there. That's like a
beer fucking wonder fuel. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that was then. This is now.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
I guess they have a system over here.
Nice guy, Sonda camera. We're watching.
You can't escape from this. That's the disturbing part. You're like, no, there's no, like, there's no grand finale. Death is in it. You're not, you can't get away from this shit. It's not going
that's
anywhere.
That's a scary part.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Writing for me.
I'm always like, oh, when is it over? Can I just be at peace?
I don't know. I thought there was still the option of killing myself available. Now it's like, oh, it's not even an option.
Well, it... This mutates in your experience. So that part of you that any of us can identify with that wants this to be done, right? Yeah. That's, right? A natural response to the busyness of particularization, of being pushed around as
that you're something other and you just can't take it anymore.
Yeah,
you're
really
useless and yeah. You stop and you just can't.
Yeah, you just can't take it anymore. Right, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Yeah. So the, you know, you could say that kind of core frustration. Or not even frustration. You could also refer to it as a core interest or longing for non-existence. It's good. It's good. It's rich.
It's been here a long time.
As long as you, or longer still.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it does seem like just a metaphor, maybe for a what you're really longing for is some rest. You don't trust that you can rest in this in some way. You think you're like doing stuff, and it's exhausting. And
individuation in duration is very painful
and exhausting.
Yeah, and so you know, EGO is individuation in duration.
That happens to me a lot where I'll be like, God, this is so exhausting, like that during this process anyway, seemingly, like this is so exhausting, and I just will be like, something will kick in that's like, this is doing it, like you don't actually, you're not doing anything. It may feel, you might feel tired,
it could feel like you're
whatever, yeah, but it's not actually exhausting, like the more you relax into it, you're like, like this really is doing, it's taken care of, they're not like...
Well, that's the adventure. That's the Johnny Quest adventure. Is this mutation from the imposition of consciousness, the experienced as individuation in duration. To
you have to medicate.
Some, absolutely, that you have to medicate. I mean, there's no, I mean, you know.
Sober, you're like, no.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to wait to get out of bed before you start medicating, right?
Coffee immediately.
Yeah. So the adventure quest then is the, you know, fitful and sometimes pleasant, more often unpleasant, transmutation from individuation in duration to freedom from both. And whatever that is, however that, you know, starts sneaking up on you, I would suggest, I don't have any confidence in anything, but I would suggest it doesn't have the same interest in this ending.
Well, because it knows that it won't. There is no end. So it's like, yeah, okay.
Well,
what do you want, a new game? Do you want a new player? What do you want?
Your present nature is not actually put upon.
Yeah.
You see?
And it's not beset.
Yes. Yes.
Or overwrought.
It's not wrought, overwrought, or beset. And so it doesn't have a motive. It doesn't have a motive to want to, you know, non-endure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty simple, really. And you know, this, call it a dichotomy between individuation and duration that has no choice but to medicate with gusto starting right now, right, will transmute into a tequila sunrise. And it's always been what it is. It's not like one thing actually becomes another.
That would be good, kind of, enjoying this. You would just latch onto a song. What's up with that?
It's not
an awakening musical.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Nice guy.
Catherine will be your backup singer.
Go to Broadway.
She loves that stuff. I guess the Google numbers.
Now the transmutation is contrary to popular opinion and belief, not effortful. This is why the Patanjali's of the world would be, you know, it would have been maybe arguably better if they would have just shut the fuck up. Yeah, because once you set in motion a strategy, a clever, you know, adventure that includes you, all that does is reinforce the myth of individuation in duration. It doesn't assist you in completely relaxing from endeavor. But sort of part of, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Inescapable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were all standing out somewhere.
So they say.
Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
Well, even if you look at that stupid metaphor of the brain, you know, the 10% twice, it does appear to go in, unfortunately, a nearly timely fashion of something called evolution, even though that's not really, I know that's not really what's going on, but.
Yeah. Every metaphor works. Every metaphor works.
Not if it makes any sense.
Yeah. attention is attention is expressive. Most folks don't like a quiet house.
No. People who live alone, they see.
Right?
Like
most people on long hiking, bicycling journeys, it's rough.
Then they start hallucinating.
Where they make up little objects.
Object relationship.
We will rock on.
I mean, we name our cars.
That's right.
I always bring a volleyball with me.
Yeah, I do, just in case I'm left alone for a long time. Yeah, I have to keep a volleyball in the trunk. Right, a volleyball and a rope. And, you know, we know from primate studies that if a child or, you know, a mammal is abandoned, the whole developmental process is so severely impaired. Yes. Yeah. Well, her mother, right, died.
Yeah. Or, the wolf raiser? What happened?
I don't know.
I don't know. I want to say she became a Hollywood executive.
Yeah. That's how they all start.
That's what wolves are fucking smart.
We know the monkeys would take a...
Right.
They're like, everyone should be raised by wolves.
Well, the Reese's monkey study, they'd rather have the blanket monkey than the hanger monkey.
Yeah.
The wire hanger monkey.
They'd rather have the blanket monkey that had no nourishment than the wire monkey that had food.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? Because it was, like, less comfy?
The biology went for a different depth of, you know, nourishment.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fuzzy.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was because of that Jim Crawford mother movie. No wire hangers ever!
Probably. That's what happened. I think you're right.
This could be part of enlightenment, the musical too.
We can all go downtown and carry marijuana with impunity.
We still take it away though. Did you see that Saturday Night Live kids?
Yes.
That was sweet. They all come out of their house. Looking at each other.
Wait, is this... I didn't see this game, but is this about Philadelphia?
It's where New York, actually. It's like the same law as New York, I guess.
It's just about the felony thing, where it's not a felony, it's a little fine.
Yeah, But they all come
out... But that's not in Bucks County, it's only in Philadelphia.
Bucks County, don't do... anything in Bucks County.
Can't even smile.
I heard an attorney the other day outside the courthouse say, if you're going to DUI and get into an accident coming down County Line Road, make a right into Montgomery County. Don't turn into Bucks County, because your universe will be so completely different. Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad I live here. Mm-hmm.
Forget about Delaware County. You can't even walk drunk there.
Wow.
They have people who will stop you and they can bring you a breathalyzer so you walk drunk.
Yeah. Stoned on life. The feeling tone that is the precursor to any fancy of imagination. First, your feeling tone. Mind doesn't occur in a vacuum. Mind occurs in a medium. That medium is the feeling tone of your presence, your attentivity, your embodied or disembodied interest. Mind is appearing there. Mind's not appearing in a vacuum. So, in order for mind to animate, this feeling tone finds mind fascinating. You're finding yourself fascinating. Mind is not what's finding mind fascinating. It can't. You find mind fascinating. You do. What's that you? Well, it's not mind. But, right? This is fascinating. I mean, even if it's ordinary, even if it's familiar, even if it's dull, even if you don't like Hootie and the Blowfish, still it's fascinating. So if I'm thinking and planning and cogitating or agonizing or trying to improve, I'm dwelling in fascination. Now that fascination may be encumbered by the imaginary forces of individuation in duration. I'm still fascinated, but I'm kind of a drag. I find myself to be a drag. I'm tangled up in blue. So, rather than trying to make better or right what's appearing in fascination, Nirsagadatta would suggest simply turn your attention, not even a lot, just a little, to the fascination itself. That which is fascinated by what's appearing in it, rather than become preoccupied with the symptom, with the apparition, you become fascinated by fascination. And this fascination, which you are primarily, is not encumbered. It's not encumberable. Fascination, you could say, wafts mellifluously, yes, with total impunity. That's this. This is your fascination. Not encumbered, not encumberable. Free-floating, not tethered to body, not tethered to mind, not the consequence of body, not the consequence of mind. All content is appearing in your fascination. If this identifies with, you could say, body, mind, space, time, individuation in duration. It could be a drag. Okay. drag on, sailor. But each and every moment, as if there were any, you are the unencumberable fascination, inexhaustible, without measure. And you can embrace this fascination, which is a different kind of feeling than being preoccupied with the tonality of its symptoms. Fascinated with yourself as fascination is liberation. You're not marked by space, you're not marked by time, you're not marked by birth or consequence. You're a bliss bunny. This is joyful. It's lit. You're lit. Resourceful without any premeditation. You sure as hell don't have to help anyone, intervene, explain. But that doesn't mean you commit yourself to being selfish or miserly. You're generous of nature with whatever magical powers have always been yours. You're happy to exercise them.
Do you think if you didn't learn a language or learn any language, that puts you in a more default state to kind of just always be there? Like if you didn't know how to name something or attempt to label,
you'd create one.
Right?
Most likely. I mean, even Nell had created, right? It was a primitive, but, you know, it was still a language. And it was textural, right? It was a touchy-feely, right, language.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it had the percussive elements to it. But that scene in the courthouse when she, you know, broke back into English and warned everyone about where things were going, right?
Like when you wake up in the morning, you're in that default state, and then you turn on the thing. So is that the natural state? Or is there natural states?
This is the natural state. And it, you could say, is in possession of any and all bandwidths of representation and guttural utterance and language imposition and storytelling. But even if association is arising as mind, as thought, as abstraction, doesn't actually obscure what you're pointing at as the natural state, which is not afflicted. Here we are. It's same.
I'm saying like when you're daydreaming, that seems like it just happens in a flow.
Sure.
You're not necessarily switching things.
No.
You might even be lost. But are you tuned in?
What's interesting is the insight into how vaporous everything is. Here's an exercise. How well do you remember what happened 10 seconds ago? So what you do recall, the memes and elements which frame you as a durational persona with a history of events and circumstances, is remarkably arbitrary. More driven, you could say, by chemistry or aroma than it is by choice of what you're going to recall. If you're preparing for an examination, then you have a different kind of focus at hand, which wants to, right, memorize knowledge through word and association forms so you can respond to questions on a test. Or if you're defending your PhD in front of a bunch of James Joyce scholars, then you have to have done reading and reading and commentary on commentary and written your own things so that you can contribute something to the body of wisdom about this single topic. Right? And you can. You can dazzle them or fail miserably if you were out drinking, in which case they'll pass you anyway because you got it. Right?
Probably.
He failed his doctoral thesis miserably because he was out drinking. We passed him on the spot.
Yeah.
He's studying James Joyce, you know. He got it.
That's what I'm banking on.
Yeah, I know. We all are, yeah. We're banking on it. And it's interesting that you can discern and bring to recollection and then express, call it loquaciously, the subtle nature of these, the recognition of these, right, gradations in state. Dreaming sleep, deep sleep, waking up, being, you know, subtly cognizant, and then Kevin's back, right? And you can feel it. You can even remark on it with aplomb, with confidence. It's weird. Well, what state are you in now? Is this the waking state? Are you daydreaming? Are you in deep sleep? Are you just coming out of sleep? Are you applying yourself? You're not applying yourself. But you don't fall over. We haven't had enough to drink yet. Then you can fall over. Yeah. What'd you guys do last night? James Joyce. We went all the way.
Yes. A bottle of rum.
But it's curious how you can't remain, willfully or otherwise, in any condition, in any state. A horrible one, a pleasant one, a neutral one. This just keeps coming at you. And you cannot slow it down, speed it up, change the volume, or apply the miracle of your free will to say, no, I'm going to stay right here in that little space that I love so much between sleeping and waking up before Kevin kicks in and tells me all this shit that he thinks I have to do. right? Because I dig it there. It's nice. But you can't stay. So might there be something which is no thing? Earlier I referred to it as fascination. Is there a quality of you that you can play with, recognize, that all these states appear to? Who's the Kevin that's recognizing the waking state, the sleeping, the dreaming, the transition? Who? Who's the Kevin that's doing the recognition of the palette of subtlety of states? Who's that guy? And what state is he in? Strange. So you never really occupy a state.
No, but now that you said that, I'll think of that, and then I'll say, oh, this is what Jeff was talking about, and then I'll be me again.
Hakuna Matata. It's like a little
We, you know, what we call intelligence, right, or knowledge or learning is cycling.
Right?
Cycling back, kicking the tires, playing around with it. Hearing it, creating an association, playing with it, recalling it, going deeper into it, seeing what it has to reveal. Then it becomes, you could say it becomes your own. It doesn't matter what someone else said, right? Because the fascination, the creativity, the delight of the fascination is yours. It's all yours. It's yours. No one else's.
It reminds me of that Irish woman that said, oh, this is what the saints must have experienced.
Yeah, but I don't know what she was referring to.
Well, when the whole light opened up and then the angels came.
Oh, yeah.
Just her sort of...
Her
experience. So she didn't... I guess she wasn't scared and intimidated. It was just, oh, okay, this is what this is happening, saying, so I know how that goes.
Now I've got that down.
And they're good people.
Yeah.
So I'm okay, and this is good, and all right, let's see where this goes.
Well, you can see how quickly this hijacks itself and compartmentalizes. I mean, on a dime. There's really hardly any so-called space between ecstatic expression and ownership. The naming. Yeah. The naming. And the reification of self as the experiencer of, you know, the ecstatic catastrophe. That's why you want to get rid of individuation and duration. Because you're really, really weary of being on the receiving end of experience. Completely tiresome. And you know better, which is also curious. You know better. Organically, you know better than to be the banal recipient of experiencing. You know that you're non-dual. You know that you are the curiosity, the resonant curiosity to whom all states occur. You know it. Because here it is. What the fuck? This is no subtle surprise. This is no spiritual secret. But we miss, you could say we misappropriate or misunderstand the instinct that you are fascination. Disembodied, multivalent fascination. Not a person, not a thing, not a plenum, not a canvas. Certainly not body, not mind. You're the disembodied fascination that body and mind appear to.
So is it obvious?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely obvious. Unobscured.
That's shocking in itself.
I know.
Like, what's everybody doing?
I know. I know. It's like,
I
huh?
mean, what?
Yes.
But that is really easy for me anyway.
It's fun.
To create this sort of strange, like, well, there's these people, and then there's this, and it's like, how is that, like, muggles and wizards and all these other, like...
Sure.
It's like that same, I'm at war with all these things, you know? Like, how come nobody gets it? And, you know.
I know. Aren't you obvious? Well... You're obvious. I mean, this is obvious, right? I'm not saying what it is or isn't, or that you have to have a certain cathartic anything, you know. Is this obvious? Darn tootin'. Right? So, that's how obvious it all is. So the curious call it, you know, twist of fate. This is perfectly obvious, but we take it to be something. Surreptitiously, and perhaps without you even consciously signing on, your call it consciousness is the product of a whole bunch of presumptions. Yes?
Yeah.
So this is perfectly obvious, but the way you frame it in terms of how you relate to this experience is according to a remarkable set of presumptions that you're not even conscious of.
And I'm only tuning into one channel or a handful of channels.
There's a what?
No, that was great. That's I got it.
Yeah. So it's clear that this not suggesting what it is or isn't is first off perfectly obvious. You are obvious to yourself. You are. This is irrefutable. The curious thing is that, without accusing you or anyone of anything, you think you know what this is.
Right.
Right? You do. You've been taught.
Right.
You were oriented.
Right.
To a certain kumbaya.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the worst orientation. Like you go to work, they're like,
it's terrible
orientation.
But so what? I mean,
right.
It's what we have, right?
Right.
So this orientation that you've been educated in, assigned to, berated by, belittled by, manipulated by, for food, affection, attention, for education, for being bright and attractive, so that you can make your way in the biological universe of, you know, blasphemy, is in a profound, only apparitional condition of surety. So having these conversations is a way of busting the surety. You have a lot of deeds. You've signed your name to a lot of deeds. And we're just going to take all your houses and hotels away. Right? You're in the corner of the board. You nailed hotels on Boardwalk and Park Place. You've got three houses each on the greens. You know, the purples are loaded up, right? You've got $2,000 in cash. You've got a get-out-of-jail-free card. I mean, this game is your bitch. We're going to wipe you clean. We're going to bankrupt you. And that's what the dance is. We're not really conscious of the surety that we are invested in. And we will resist giving it away. I mean, it can even create an allergic reaction.
Not Broadway. You're on Boardwalk.
Really?
Don't do it.
Yeah, really? Don't touch the board. I got to walk the dog. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just lost everything.
So this is, I mean, it's just that curious. This is absolutely unobscured. You are absolutely confident that it is so. And you subscribe to, like most of us do, a very peculiar set of presumptions and assurances. And those presumptions and assurances are overlays. They're not real, nor true. they're overlays on the raw materia of the textural nature of present experience. So you presume, one presumes, experience to be continuous. One presumes that there's an experiencer on the receiving end of experience. One believes that one can turn dials, pull levers, push knobs, and blow whistles and get what it is that they want. One thinks that they can remember events and circumstances at will with aplomb and perfect recall. One can groom oneself, choose a hairstyle, the length of a beard, color shirt. Like John Travolta, you can go out on the town. You see? And so all of these magical powers that you possessed lend themselves to the presumption that you exist as an independent entity of the nature of world, universe, Big Bang, birth, consciousness, maturity, and magical powers. The world is your oyster, except hardly anything is going your way.
It's odd. The whole thing is weird. I mean, the idea that, okay, so you think that there's somebody on the receiving end of it, and then, these arms or whatever, It's just weird to think that that's not real.
Yes, that's right. To the embedded consciousness, which we subscribe to involuntarily, starting to feel it differently than we've been taught, is weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird. And you can't be cajoled. Whatever it is inside of you that's done with you or willing to take a risk to feel yourself through a different lens, that's what's doing the work. Nothing outside of you can do it. You're doing it. Something inside of you is like, I'm pretty much done with me.
What else you got?
And then, you're the fomentation and fermentation of interest, of fascination, is ready, interested to move on. To,
where?
Well, discard. To
and
discard
what?
The frames of reference
yeah.
that we have been so loyal to. There is no where. That's the sense
no
of aware.
No
the sense of aware is part of the part of your your property.
There has to be somewhere that something you can get.
There's gotta be.
At least a grand finale, fireworks show, maybe something.
The revelation of the yogis and the yoginis and whomever you might, read through whatever faith base you might read it, they're peculiarly very much the same. They may not be identical with respect to catharsis or acculturation.
You mean the traditions? Or do you think they're the same?
The revelation is the same because the revelation is not bound by, right?
Revelation
tradition.
Is the past.
The demonstrations are can be anything, but the core of the revelation is always the same. Yes, this is this, and your confidence in it being so becomes more revelatory. And you don't have to give up the 1001 belief systems as a chronology or as a bingo game. B17, N30. Because the entire fabrication of your loyalty to misunderstanding or misidentification is is not as multivalent as it is. It's one simple. It's really one simple, one simple thing. It expresses as a whole list of curious loyalties, but they're all apparitional. So it can crack all at once. And will, even though it may look, as a gradual approach. It cracks all at once. And not. It can't, right? This is never one thing contrary to something else. It's that too. Oh yeah, it's that. Oh yeah, that's good. It's not exclusionary. You could say that, the beatitude of revelation is the beatitude of inclusion. All in.
It's like funny because I feel like we mostly either want it to end, which is impossible because it just sucks and we hate it, or we're waiting for some better time in the future where I will get to experience myself in all my glory.
Yes.
That's the fireworks show.
Sure.
And this is the fireworks show.
It is.
And this is all your glory.
Yeah.
This is it.
This is it. This is as good as it gets.
It's like just like as that confidence kind of grows, you're like, oh really, this is... Like, which at first can seem kind of disappointing, but it does seem to get better.
So we've peaked at Wegmans.
Pretty much peaked at Wegmans, yeah. This is it.
Yeah, this is a peak experience.
But there's another interesting dimension, though. It's not a single dimension. As your loyalty, let's say, shifts from space-time to improvisational WTF, then multiple realms appear to you as a simultaneity. And you're not even relating to the observation, the sensorium, the intimacy of these realms from the vantage point of having been a human. Humans want human shit to look and feel better to the human. Right? If you're stuck and you want to be unstuck, you typically want to be unstuck as an emancipated human.
As a framework that you've made up.
That's right.
Stuck and unstuck.
But that framework is non-durable. So this starts appearing and revealing itself to you, your first-hand experience, in a absolutely transhuman, miraculous, fractal, revelatory way. And you don't relate to that vision, which could be as ordinary as this, through the eyes of human. Because you've been, decoupled.
You're hanging on a cross going, it's all good.
Yeah, really. What was the song they sang?
Always look on the bright
side of life.
Weren't there some religions that say when you die you get a whole new body, you get the kick-ass angel body or something?
Yeah, the kick-ass angel body with wings.
Is it like Victoria's Secret? Only they get like wings.
I think you get wings.
Like real wings.
I think it's an upgrade.
They can fly.
Wow,
you
could have one of those
three
angel bodies.
You're taller.
You get taller. Nice abs.
You can eat all the carbs you want.
You can eat anything.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
When we can't help but hold out for a certain quality of experience to occur to us through the lens of human. That's what we're familiar with. Human ecstasy, human tragedy, human disappointment, human abundance. These things and so you think, aha, well, when my ship comes in, it's going to look like ecstatic abundance.
You're gonna have
an all-night buffet. It's an all-night buffet of ecstatic abundance, because those are, you know, the sensorial enterprises that you're familiar with as human. But it's way stranger and more subtle and more remarkable and, you could say, visionary than those.
Oh, it would have to be.
Yes, it would have to be. Sure. Well, you're having it now. We're just... This is ongoingly insane. Improvisationally non-static. Here's your experience. Unobscured, radiant, improvisationally non-static. Unencumbered. So the dances get used to it. And you do so, you get used to it, you could say, experientially. One way to get used to it is that we hammer it conversationally. We hammer it conversationally. So that's one way of acquainting yourself with the atmosphere, the vibration, the frivolity, the gibberish, the lock-me-up nature of the shit that we talk about. That's one way of acquaintance.
Yeah, dude. You can get some coffee and maybe something sweet.
Maybe. Some sweet.
Well, maybe I'll get something that you like and we can share.
I'm okay.
It's tempting to go with the tea.
You trust me to make your tea.
No, it just seems a lot to take on, tea, dessert, coffee.
She's industrious.
Yeah.
Plus they have...
She's a waitress, then they have trays.
And they have baskets and trays.
No, it's okay.
Are you going by the abundance buffet?
Yes, self-checkout.
Nice. That's what this is. Self-checkout.
Yeah, self-checkout.
If through conversation or encounter or yogic endeavor or book study or videos and interviews...
I unsubscribed to
Redigan. Really?
Oh, you were so close.
You were so close, yeah. So close. You were so close, yeah.
One more episode.
One more episode of Rupert Spira and it would have been all done. Right. Well, it's tiresome, you know. It's tiresome.
Especially since I had a therapist on the last time.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Now you've gone too low.
That's a dirty word. Really.
They've always met some magical person who was instructed to have a physical
Yeah. It's the old ho-hum.
Yeah.
Do you think this like presents itself in a way that people do notice it, but don't notice it for what it is? So that, you know, either you're more tuned in, or you're more sensitive, or maybe it turns up more. I don't know. Maybe it's the rhythm of it all, where the fourth wave will come by. Because there does seem to be those experiences that people talk about that they can't describe and they can't pin in any human way.
Yes.
And it connects them to any and everything.
Yes.
And there is no time.
Yes.
And it just gets lumped into some broader experience of, well, that was spiritual or that was transcendence or this or you or that. Or,
mm-hmm.
They were not, you know, necessarily looking for it or trying for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that guy with the cats that live up, you know, on the ceiling. At any minute, they'll bounce right on on your neck.
They're taking over.
Yeah.
They're like the apes, they're plotting.
Yeah. We don't as prolific as, call it, ecstatic teachings and experiences have been documented in the literature. I mean, Bill Moyers did a nice job with, what's his name?
Right? Your old guy.
Jesus?
No.
Yeah, when he interviewed Jesus, yeah. We're standing here with Jesus behind
the... Charlie Graves.
Yeah.
Charlie Rose. I know.
Yeah. Right, that guy. I mean, he was a he was a brilliant orator and ecstatic purveyor of, you know, multiple religions. He was, that guy, right. We've already forgotten him, you know, goodbye, long forgotten.
He was brilliant.
Yeah. So as saturated as the universities, the internet, the libraries are with the presence of ecstatic human experience, we still compartmentalize it. Right? It is an annoyance, nuisance, something that happens from time to time, mostly to other people, not us.
Right.
And though this is miraculous in plain sight, our attention is consumed with more, call the pedestrian, practical or banal matters. This is self-obscuring. Has always been. As if there has always been anything. But you can just look through the cultures. I mean, the high-altitude shamanic cultures. Even amongst the cultures that are absolutely emphatically devoted to this. You know, like Buddhism or Hinduism spread throughout the land, right? People have pictures of Ganesh and Saraswati and, you know, Buddha and Dalai Lama. But still, you don't know what the nourishment barometer is for them. They may be just going through the motions like we do. We worship Celebrity Apprentice. They worship, you know, what's her name in Burma or Thailand that's always under house arrest? Suki Kun, you know, the liberator. It's very strange. You have the tools, let's say. You have the yogas and the pranayamas, the yamas and the niyamas. You have the purification tools. You have the jhanas. You have salvia divinorum. You have ayahuasca. You have LSD. You have mushrooms. You have on and on. You have tools galore. Well, who do you know that's using them? Except for an occasional blowout. You know, maybe next weekend we'll take a ride up to Washington. We'll go to the Tibetan, you know, education house and we'll listen to teachings on compassion. Ho-hum. Right? So it's just interesting how this is what it is, has been reported upon by a number of people across a number of centuries that it's ecstatically miraculous beyond the pale. And we're like, good to hear. Maybe I'll read... the Bhagavad Gita on Tuesday. So as obvious as this is, it's also as powerfully, perhaps arguably, more potently self-obscuring.
But are there people walking around right now that don't believe that anymore?
Don't believe which side?
Oh, the myth of living things. Like Peter.
Like Peter Brown?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you met one.
Is that true? I don't know.
It's up to you, because what anyone else says about it is hearsay as far as you're concerned. Right? It's up to you. This is your universe. It's your world. If Peter Brown or someone else might be dwelling in an enviable, call it ecstatic or non-human, right, transcendent condition and is giving it a little you know, word, energy. Okay, it's up to you. Did you go to India when you were 22 to go find a guru? Okay.
Nobody has to. He has some sort of his own I call it his cone. He has some laugh. He probably doesn't want to say.
The sound of one hand slapping?
No, something about, like, he sometimes thought, like, if he wasn't born, it would be, like, nothing, and why is the little party, and then he just laughs. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes sense to me. I get it. Yeah, yeah. No, it's funny. Yeah.
So I call this cone.
So you look at, you know, look at the trajectory of your life. Your curiosity, your sense of humor, your interest, your pathos. What's tickled you? Why you would decide to, you know, come to a heretical conversation like this one more than once? You've done that. All right. Yeah. You can go see Byron Katie or Adyashanti or Nick Arda or, I mean, you know, the internet is rife with, call it, so-called enlightened people that walk around in a condition that they're happy to speak about that you might find interesting, curious, enviable, terrible. You might find it, you know, boring. I don't know. It's really... This is yours. This belongs to you. I don't know what to believe.
Something just seems right. I couldn't tell you what it is, or why it is, or how it is. I couldn't repeat it to somebody. Somebody said, hey, that's so what you learned from Jeff tonight. So I don't know, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, we had one or two beers.
Yeah, they just think you're rescued.
Rasputin. Yeah, if only. That'd be cool.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can only deal with the closest I can come here is to say, you're saying things that I somehow already know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I didn't know that I knew.
Yeah. Yeah, there has to be, I call it an instinctual recognition. Otherwise, there'd be no point in participating in this. Yeah.
There's no hot coffee. They closed that section. I won't go. And I ended up with a friggin' cookie.
Looks like it went well.
You have some.
Is this
going to
keep you up all
night? I doubt it.
The subtlety of revelation is truly like a carrot. You begin to feel and see things for yourself that appear to you in your autonomy. You don't have to have a clever vocabulary around it. And yet, it... is so. And you respond to it.
They're like, I don't know, there's a weird sweetness.
Yeah, it's a hard.
you know, we could say with some confidence that the rubric of enlightenment is real. It doesn't appear in the culture as with the degree of prolific demonstration that it does, because it's some kind of, you know, frivolity or just a bunch of nut jobs that, you know, got some bad sauerkraut.
It's sauerkraut really go bad.
This is revelatory. It's real. Why would someone be calling me at this hour?
They want bad sauerkraut. They're like, ooh,
bad.
Cookies.
Cookies.
I just, it's always like you look, you know, the irrational perspective, you're like, yeah, I can't do
that. Oh, I know, that's crazy.
Was Peter Brown successful at convincing you of anything, or bring to your attention things that you could agree with, align with, get excited by? I mean, you know, this last time he was here, people came half a day here and there, and, you know, they just went woo and got out of there. You know, there was no purchase. There was no Velcro.
The first time?
It happens all the time.
Yeah, where does everybody go?
They go back.
They're getting a stand.
They go back to their dream.
Yeah, and they're just like, this guy's nuts and he's not saying anything.
Okay. And that's true.
I've got a better thing to do, like laundry. Come clean something.
Wasn't it true if you see 10 gurus, the next one is free?
Oh, yeah, it, totally.
10 yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little punch card, yeah.